This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP Pastor and Director of the Catholic community. It is the fifth Sunday of Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle C.
Last week, I was on my way to a Stanford men's basketball game. And I parked my car at the south end of the football stadium and was walking across the parking lot over toward Maples Pavilion. You have to kind of snake your way through next to the Aquatic Center. And then on my left, I heard it. The crack of the bat. A ball landing in a mitt, and joy swept over me. I was on the way to a basketball game, but I could feel baseball. And I know, because I'm a fan, that the college season starts before the pro season, and I don't have to wait all the way to the pro season to think about baseball. I checked online, and they don't even have an exhibition game for a little while, and then they play the games that start to count. So it made me think, there's a practice season before the real season, and then there's practice before the practice season, which is where I think we are today. I said Mass this morning at 10:30 for the children and family in our Catechesis of the Good Shepherd program, and we celebrated Mardi Gras a couple days early. But we had our Mardi Gras party, and the children are so well versed in their faith and the liturgy because of that program. They know that we're about to stop singing the Alleluia. And so they created a big Alleluia banner, which they're going to bury because it dies. And then it comes back to life at Easter. Well, all of that made me think these last few days before Ash Wednesday are kind of like preparing for the exhibition season. Lent prepares us for Easter, but we have a chance these next 3 days to prepare for Lent. And I think the readings that we have in the liturgy today set us up very well to be able, by the time we get to Wednesday, to come with hearts wide open, ready to focus on how will I prepare to celebrate the death and resurrection cycle of Lent and Easter in my own life. And how will I do that in a way that's not just repetitive, it's not just autopilot, what I did the last year and the year before that, or focusing only on some little bit of deprivation, giving up something. I like to think of life in Christ and in relationship with our Lord and with each other as being something kind of cyclonic, or maybe kind of like a screw. It goes deeper, and it does go around and round, but it penetrates more deeply if you allow it, the love of God. So while I'm doing what I, going through the same season I've gone through in years past, it could be at a deeper level of depth. I mentioned at the beginning, we're shown three examples of people who already have some kind of relationship with God going on in each of the three readings today, like us. Not everybody's at church on Sunday. You could be doing lots of other things. But for most of us, this is what we do. We come to try to share in Christian community, commune with the Lord, with each other. So we're not brand new at this. Neither was Isaiah the prophet. He already had a relationship with God and an understanding of the law. And then God took it to a next level, or invited him to greater depth. Showed him a vision, in fact, of a grand temple. Showed him the temple in Jerusalem. But in the vision, the temple, instead of just being full with all of the priests and the sacrifices that one would expect to see there, it was full of the trail of God's garment. The train, it says. So imagine like a very elaborate wedding dress. And this train of the garment, not the person, just the fringe of it, is what's filling the temple. And above that, because the temple is too grand to hold him, is God, resplendent. When Isaiah realizes that he's been brought into this vision, he's excited and he has a sense of dread. Like, oh no, this is too much. I'm not worthy. Whereupon, an angel took care of that right away. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people just like me. I live among a people of unclean lips. So, just like that, here comes an angel swooping toward him, takes a hot coal from a fire in the temple and touches it to his lips. Kind of an odd image. You ever touched a hot coal to your lips? He doesn't object. He simply allows. And then there's a question put to him, who will go for us? Who will speak for us? His next line is, me, pick me. He goes that quickly from being drawn into this awesome experience to being frightened and think himself unworthy to moments later saying, me, choose me. That could be us. Or we could be like Paul in the second reading. You know his story. You know he was very well educated in his faith, knew the law backwards and forward as a very young person, studied under Gamaliel, the best rabbi of his day. He had all the credentials, the kind of credentials a person leaves Stanford with. But all of his knowledge of his faith and the law also gave him a keen insight into who was breaking the law. Some of those breaking the law were breaking it by believing and teaching others that Jesus of Nazareth, who was publicly killed as a criminal, was of all things the long-awaited Messiah of Israel. How in the world could that be? Paul didn't see this as just some mistaken theology. He saw it as a threat to the whole nation and felt duty-bound to do something about it and gather together a group of friends to go and put down this new movement, even violently. When, along the way, if you recall, he has an experience of the risen Jesus. He describes it, and he doesn't describe it in visual terms the way Isaiah described what he saw in the temple. For Paul, it was what he heard along the way. He heard the voice of Jesus saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He heard his name called. He knew that Christ was paying full attention to him and that he was hurting the Christ. And he was asked in so many words, why are you doing this to me? He also heard that the words were not, why are you doing this to my people or people I care about? He heard that Jesus identified with us and said, why are you persecuting me? When you do it to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do it to me. And it changed him. He was blinded for a while so that he might see. That could be a thought to carry into Lent. What do I need to be blinded to? Do I need to have something? It's kind of what we do when we deprive ourselves. Well, blindness is sensory deprivation. What do I need to deprive myself of so that I might see with greater insight? Then there's the gospel. Simon Peter was one of many in a big crowd. The people were pressing against Jesus to hear what he had to say. So already there were ears and hearts open all around. Simon's among them. It says at some point Jesus got into the boat and went out a short distance and taught from the boat. I had the opportunity to travel on a pilgrimage to Israel a number of years ago, and that's one of the things they do is take you to this spot in the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. It's called the Lake of Gennesaret in this in Luke, but it's the same lake. It just had a different name. But it has a kind of natural amphitheater quality to it. The tour guide did get into a boat, left us on the shore, went out a short distance and started talking to us. And even though he was a fair ways out, you could hear him clear as a bell. He wanted to show us and have us have the experience of seeing the acoustics in this place, that that's why this odd picture of Jesus getting in a boat in order to teach made such sense. Nevertheless, he speaks to the people, finishes what he has to say, and as you heard, then makes a suggestion. Hey, why don't you throw your nets over for a catch? Well, to Simon Peter, that might have sounded like a fine idea if he hadn't been catching all night and caught nothing. Even says so. Master, we've been at it all night. As you saw, we were just cleaning our nets, coming in from a fruitless fishing trip. But because it's you who are saying it, I'll do it. So he's already begun to kind of get the picture. When Jesus speaks to him, he has to kind of override his natural reluctance, his discouragement, his cynicism. How about you? Does anything like that clog you up, prevent your spiritual growth? Lack of past progress or discouragement or sadness or cynicism, hopelessness? What if you gave that up for Lent? Jesus just makes this suggestion, and Peter says, well, because it's you who's asking, I'll do it. And of course, you know the rest of that story. The catch is super abundant. He has to shout to the next boat. Their nets are straining, and the boats look like they might sink. End of story. Almost end of story, except that it says at the very end, when they got to the shore, they left their nets, they left their boats, and they followed him. He said, you have this talent for fish catching. What I'd like to do is take the natural talent that you've already developed. If you gave it back to me, we could do wonderful things together. What's the natural talent or talents that you've been developing or that you know that you're blessed with? Have you handed them back? And if you haven't done it explicitly, it's the kind of thing that needs to be repeated, kind of like a marriage vow. You don't just do that once. You do it over and over and over again. Is it time to give your talent back to the Lord and say, I've been trying at this, and I might have had some mixed or success or even failure. May I give it back to you so that you can bless it and we can work together as a team? By the time we get to Ash Wednesday, by the way, the masses are at 8, 4:30, and 8. What time are the masses on Ash Wednesday? You do listen, don't you? Those are the masses, and then at noon, there's an ecumenical service where we join the other Christian groups on campus in this service that the university sponsors. So there's 4 opportunities for reception of ashes and prayer together. 3 of them are Catholic masses. Tuesday night, our regular Newman Night series is themed around a talk that I'm giving that's called Rise and Shine, Living Lent and Easter. Even if you've not ever attended any of the lectures in that series, we get about 50 to 60 people at each one. It's a nice blend of students and permanent community members, kind of a nice big mix of people of all ages. You'd be most welcome. It's not that hard to find. You just park in the Tresseter lot and walk past Tresseter into Old Union. Really simple. If that sounds complicated, see me after Mass. I'll try to make it even simpler. I don't know. I can try anyway. The point is, we're about to be invited into the season that prepares us for Easter. Easter's not about Jesus in and of himself rising from the dead, but it's about him inviting all of us to rise to a new way of life right this minute. To live fully our lives, to make ourselves fully available to all the love around us. I think it's terrific this Lent that we don't no sooner get through Ash Wednesday on February 13th, but what do you wake up to the next day? It's Valentine's Day, the day after Ash Wednesday. That could be a reminder that this is all about love. I'm called to open my heart up as wide as I can, and God might just want to do wonderful things in me, just as he did with Isaiah and Paul and Simon. So you and I are invited into this great season of grace. We're about to go into the exhibition season, but we're already in the season that precedes that, where we get out our bats and our balls and our gloves, and we start throwing it around, getting the juices flowing, so that we can fully enter into all the joys that await us this Lent and this Easter.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Producer Father Isaiah Mary Milano Opi, Director Gary Glover, Associate Director Eun Su, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you. Thank you.